WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree. And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are too.
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your hosts.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell... Ow! What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button and the checkbox on the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. If you'd also like to follow the channel, subscribe the regular way, or hang out and chat, or listen to the archive, we are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer, /co-host, /handyman, Sir Rockin.
And just one easy shows. Like, I had one news story, and I had a whole entire hour's worth of content for a preview. Something simple, something easy, but no.
No.
They want to change things up for us. And that's okay. We are able to adapt and react
things
on the fly.
It is not okay. Firing people or announcing that you fired people at 9 o'clock at night is not okay.
That's not what I meant. Us adapting to having more to talk about. That's what I meant. Not the firing.
No, it's not. No, there was a plan. We had a plan.
Also, chat, we have an announcement later.
Like, we were going to do this, and then I was going to fuck off and go play Genshin, and now I can't do that, because we have to talk about this. Very upset.
Very upset. But we have an announcement later, so stick around for that.
By the way, if you play Genshin and you have a teapot, can you just, like, hit me up? Because I need to come into your world for a second. Like, just tweet me at Lynn's Ward. Just throwing that out there. Because I have, like, one challenge that I have to do that I can't do because I don't know anybody with a teapot. So if you have a teapot, and if you would like, if I could come, like, into your teapot, I would very much appreciate that. Thanks.
The reason is I don't have a teapot.
He doesn't have a teapot yet. It's frustrating. And I, like, have one thing to do where I have to buy something in somebody else's teapot for me to be able to, like, level my teapot, and I can't. And it's annoying. So if you have one and I can come in and see your salesperson, please let me know. I at Lynn's Ward. hit me up. But yes, we have WWE news and an announcement later that we have to talk about. We're also talking Survivor Series. There will be no Tweet of the Week. We're not doing NXT.
War Games. There's NXT.
I don't even know how to talk about the other story that we have to do. So we're just going to, you know, hit this, and we're just going to announce the names because this just happened. You're listening live. If you're listening to the archive, it didn't just happen, but it's for us tonight live, it just happened. So WWE announced the release of John Morrison, Top Dollar, Ashante Adonis, Isaiah Swerve Scott, Tegan Knock, Drake Maverick, Shane Thorne, and Jackson Ryker. Tegan's unfortunate. I'm really surprised about Hit Row because they just brought them up. We should have seen the writing on the wall when they got rid of, oh crap.
B-Fab,
thank you. It's like we're sitting there talking about her all before the show and I just blanked on her name. I'm sorry about that. But yeah, it's like we should have seen the writing on the wall there, but we didn't. Same thing when Frankie Monet got released. We should have seen the writing on the wall for John Morrison. It wasn't there. It's not due to budgetary cuts. That's crap. Budgetary cuts is basically the new, we don't have anything for you. I can't justify budget cuts at this point because when you're releasing people once a month or twice a month in this case, I can't justify a budget cut because that would indicate severe financial problems in the company. And based on everything we're seeing, especially from the Q3 report, that's not the case. Like, the company is turning a profit, so for them to say we're continuing to cut the budget by cutting talent, that doesn't fly with me. Especially now that they're back out on the road, because you do need people to fill in the house show slots and the tour slots. So the fact that they've let even more people go, that's surprising. Now, are there names on here that they hadn't seen TV or the light of day in a while? Yes, absolutely. But it's still shocking that, considering that, you know, they're touring, and this is probably an indication they are not going to split the brands to tour, that they're still cutting people. Because, like, people like Drake Maverick, people like Jackson Ryker, people like Shane Thorne, even Tegan, they could do really, really well on the house show circuit. They could get on the shows, they could work the shows, they could make good money. Does it suck they weren't on TV? Yeah, it did. Except for Jackson Ryker, because I didn't really like him. But it's just, I can't even justify it. Like, I can't even make sense of it. I'm just still kind of reeling from it, honestly. Because it's like, I look at these names, and a lot of them had just come up from NXT. I feel like a lot of them weren't even given a chance to show what they could do. It's like, did Tegan even wrestle on TV?
Yes. Since the draft, no. When they broke up her tag team. Okay. Can I answer LaManza's point in the chat really quick?
Yes.
I don't understand why Tegan didn't even get a chance to be on TV. Okay, I would like to, this is a back and forth conversation. I would like to know whose spot you wanted to give to Tegan. I like Tegan. I think she's very talented. But whose spot do you want to take away from the talent they've been pushing to put Tegan on television? Because those are the tough questions that have to be asked. We all want our favorites to be on television, correct?
Yeah.
But you have to take a spot away from one of your favorites to put another on television. We all like Liv Morgan and we want to see her succeed, correct? And she's now being pushed more on television. We're seeing Zelina Vega on television more, correct?
Yes.
Nikki Cross, Rhea Ripley. We're seeing more women be on television. Tegan, newly called up, was put in a tag team and they split the tag team. We're seeing Shotzi get pushed. There are only a certain amount of spots on television, and it sucks when your favorite gets cut.
There are only a certain amount of spots on television right now, but I would argue that just because there isn't a spot for her now doesn't mean there couldn't be a spot for her later.
Oh, I don't disagree. I'm just, if you what you ask why someone's not on television, it's, okay, who do you take off television to put her on television? And that's where it gets tricky.
And I think a lot of us had high hopes that with the draft coming and going and her, it's like it sucks for her and Shotzi that they got split, but it's like she went to Raw, right?
Mm-hmm. Tegan's on Raw, Shotzi's on SmackDown, yeah.
That it's like, okay, all right, well, that'll give Shotzi a place to kind of maybe settle in and work with people, maybe form a secondary tag team and challenge Rhea and Nikki for the titles. You know, it's like there were opportunities for her. They weren't wonderful. They weren't great prospects by any stretch of the imagination, but they were there. And I feel like they brought her over to Raw and they were kind of like, yeah, nah.
She got lost in the numbers game. We're also seeing on SmackDown, you're seeing Shotzi and Leah all get time now. Toni Storm's getting some time. So, like, we're all seeing more time. Like, she was a numbers game, and it's, okay, say it like this. It's very fortunate Dakota went back down.
I don't trust anything at this point.
I don't trust anything, but for right now, it's very fortunate Dakota went back down. Just gonna, like, if you do the play the numbers game, Tegan's the better wrestler, but they've put time and money into building the Carmella character. It's someone who they're familiar with. That's all. I'm going to say this about Hit Row. They weren't ready for the main roster.
Oh, God, no. We all said that when they got caught up.
No, no. God, no. We said that. Read Twitter, different story. They weren't ready. I think some people's Twitter fingers got that group in trouble. And if you expect people who are older to connect with a younger act and know how to deal with that act, you understand the situation. By the way, Drake must have known this was coming because he had a fantastic video put up on Twitter.
Yeah, he did a really nice video.
He had full production value, so he was preparing for this.
I think he knew. I'm sure he kind of figured it was coming just based on the atmosphere in the company. You look at your spot and you have to figure, yeah, okay, when was the last time I was on TV? When was the last time I did anything significant based on how they're making cuts? And it's like, yeah, no, I'm definitely on the list. And that's pretty much everybody in that company because like they have established that they will fire top stars. They have absolutely no problem doing that. So there's not even a safety net anymore of you get to a specific level and you're safe. It is, they have established, no, if we're done with you, we're done with you and we're going to let you go. And Drake also could have been, he asked for it, but I doubt it.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to sneeze. Cesaro is sticking around, I think primarily for up, up, down, down.
Cesaro is not a Triple H guy.
No, and that's kind of been the theme, is that they're getting rid of the Triple H people.
A majority of these names were Triple H people. Drake being rehired was a Triple H move. You can tell where power shifted. That's all. It all sucks, but that's where we are.
Incredibly unfortunate. And you hate it. You hate to see good people get fired, but at the same time, it's like there are other places for them to go, but I feel like those are quickly dwindling just based on the amount of talent that has been released out in the market because AEW is at max capacity. I don't feel like they're going to be able to take on any more. They will, but they're really at max capacity in terms of being able to take on mid-card talent, which, no offense to everybody in this list, they really kind of were to WWE. So they will probably be treated on that level just based on the way that AEW handles talent when they come in from WWE. They don't launch them right to the top. You are mid or low on the card in WWE. That's where you land in AEW, or you don't hit TV at all in some cases. So I don't feel like for some people that's a viable option. You can always go to Impact. Impact would be probably love to have a lot of these people.
On a case-by-case basis, and between Ring of Honor's shutdown
demise
and the WWE releases, there's a lot of talent, so all your local independent shows will be full stock with talent in 2022.
Which is a great thing. That's awesome for the indies. It's kind of like they're revitalizing the indies a little bit, but it just sucks. Like, it's just because you can't make sense of it, because for them to say budget cuts, it's like, oh, come on. Come on. Really? Really? You're still budget cutting? You're still budget cutting. I mean, I get it. When you have a roster of 300 people, you need to trim it down, but they have made significant, and I do mean significant, cuts into their roster over the last year and a half to 2 years.
You know what? That's the thing. We say that, right? And at the time when they were starting to make original cuts last year or something, they had over 300 talent, I think, coming into this year. There's still 200 talent on the roster.
But they've cut a third of their roster.
Oh, I know. But it's just, it's amazing how much talent they still have.
Oh, it is, but it's like you can't rely on some of that, because if you look at who's actually on TV and who they're actually using, it's a select handful of people, and then you trickle down into the NXT system, because the NXT system is where a lot of the weight is, because they typically have like 75 to 100 people in the PC at any given time.
Yeah, and that's where all this is coming from. All these releases are because in 6 months, maybe four at this point, right after WrestleMania, the next wave is coming up. You got 6 months. Show what you got.
But, okay, let's talk about this. Let's look at this. From my humble standpoint, which I know nothing about WWE's business model. I know nothing about what they do. But just based on what we've seen, you have 6 months from the time you hit NXT to show them what you have.
To show progress.
Can you get somebody ready to go for the main roster to be a top star in 6 months?
No. But you can. To be a top star, no. To be developed, yes. Will they stay down there for 6 months? Maybe. Or they're going to be a year. It all depends on the situation. For 6 months, you have to show some growth. You can't stay stagnant. You got to show character growth. You got to show ability growth. You have to show signs of improvement. You can't just flounder and try different, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, no, I know what you mean. Like, I'm right there with you, but it's just, it's like, I have to question what they're doing a little bit of, you know, okay, all right, you have 6 months to show us what you have, and given the way that they present opportunities and given the way that they handle things, sometimes it's like, for some people, it takes longer than 6 months. Like, you're not going to get that viral success every time. You're not even going to get it maybe a handful of times. Like, it really has to be organic, and it really has to be something that people take to. And that's such a crapshoot, because you never know what's going to hit TV, if it's going to be successful or not. It's like, we all sit here and we see the promos and we see the things, and it's like, what the hell is this? And it just takes a minute in some cases for it to get over, and they don't even give it the time to really develop and get over in some cases. Is just, if it's not instantaneous to them, they're like, okay, well, scrap that, move on to the next thing. Like, how many times have we seen it? It's like the prime example, look at fucking Karrion Kross. Look at how badly that got botched. And that was a botch on their part. I'm sorry. It was. This whole, oh, let the story develop. No. You guys brought him up to humiliate him. You guys brought him up to squish him. We all saw it.
He was the biggest piece of, we're going to eliminate Triple H's power.
Yeah. He got sacrificed on the altar of somebody else's ambition. We don't know who. Probably Bruce Pritchard. But we don't know who.
He was the biggest casualty of the Wednesday Night War.
So, it's just, I don't want to dwell on it, but I'm also still, like, reacting and absorbing what happened. And I don't like seeing people losing their job. I don't like trying to justify people losing their job.
LeMans, he lost the Wednesday Night War. Continue.
Yeah, he lost to AEW. That's what happened. That's why. Is he had the opportunity to crush AEW and he didn't do it. Okay. Either through his own incompetence or his own lack of care. Whatever reason why he lost. Because NXT had its moments in the war, but ultimately they did not do enough to counter-program AEW to successfully win the war based on the talent that NXT had on their roster. Additionally, they lost Adam Cole, who was a big part of Vince's plans. But based on the way things have been going, I'm kind of happy Adam Cole left. I think he saw the writing on the wall, too.
Vince cares, LeMans. Vince cares.
WWE cares more than they let on. I don't think they're worried to the point that they're going to really do anything about it. But it's basically, here's the thing. Hunter has been surmised, I guess that's the wrong word, but basically everybody has assumed that Hunter is the heir apparent in WWE. Hunter and Steph, for a long time, I think have been viewed by a lot of people outside the company and possibly inside the company. I don't want to, like, put that on people, but all of us have pretty much figured that it's going to be Hunter and Steph when Vince goes. And so they put a lot of faith in Hunter at the time that NXT was formed for him to build and create a developmental system that worked. And he did that. And to build a system that created top talent and top stars for them. And it was working until he started keeping talent down in NXT. And then what happened is AEW comes along and AEW challenges WWE with their developmental C show, right? So this is Hunter's chance to prove that he's really ready to take that next step, or prove that he's got what it takes to eventually take over for Vince. Whether it's that ruthlessness, whether it's the cunning, whether it's the ability to, you know, see ahead, whatever Vince is looking for. I don't know what Vince is looking for, but whatever Vince wants to see, he wants to see it in Hunter. He wants to see if Hunter is capable of taking over for him one day. Because, like I told you, like, you know, we've all been guessing it's probably going to be Hunter and Steph because Shane's out. What the Wednesday Night War proved was that NXT was not capable of taking down AEW. I do not want to put all of that on Hunter because I don't know if that's the case or not. I don't know anything about it. But just looking at it, it's like NXT, in terms of its programming, did not do enough to counter-program AEW, especially when you look at their roster at the time. They did not have some of the big names that they have now. They were really relying on the Bucks and Cody to go up against NXT. And they were winning with the Bucks and Cody against NXT consistently every week. When you had people like Adam Cole and Undisputed Era, when you had Karrion Kross, when you had all of these, you know, darling names that we adore, they were there. They were not capable of beating AEW and outdrawing AEW. And that's what happened. And ultimately, I think the blame came down on Hunter because he's in charge of it. And so now what we're seeing is we are seeing the systematic disassembly of Hunter and his power.
Can I answer a question in chat?
Sure.
I don't blame him for keeping them down there considering how they botched the talent on the main roster. That's an inaccurate statement. Are there talent they botch? It depends what you consider botching. Has Charlotte Flair been botched? Has Becky Lynch been botched?
Okay, I'll argue Becky.
No.
They botched, no. When Becky originally came up, Becky and Bailey both, when they came up originally, they were not handled in the same respect that they are now. They did not see it in, I don't think they saw it in Becky. And the only reason things changed for her was because Nia bloodied her nose and Stone Cold 2.0 was born.
See,
man was born.
I'll counter that. She was the first SmackDown Women's Champion. She was the first when they did the brand split. Originally, she was the first women's pick. That's all. Sasha Banks, was she botched? Did they create... they had more success with the women that Hunter created than the men. Will you give me that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a definite.
So that whole narrative of they keep botching talent is not true. Because a lot of the talent Hunter created has filled up the main roster.
But I think what they're looking for, and this is traditional for WWE, is they want that top male star. They have it in Roman.
They also had it in Seth.
They also have it in Seth. They have it, which are two of Hunter's guys.
Yeah.
They came from NXT. They came up from that. When he was still employed, they had Bray. So, yes, did the NXT system work? Absolutely. Hunter created top stars, but then what Hunter did was Hunter went on an indie binge.
And created an alternative. And that, at the end, ultimately killed them because the competition they created was then killed by the same competition who was doing it for a different audience.
Yeah.
And that ultimately is the tale. Because guys like Johnny and Tommaso, while we love them, they're great, they're fantastic workers, they're not main roster guys. So WWE spent 3 years pushing and promoting and talking about them. But they were never going to succeed on the WWE main roster. You had guys like Finn Balor who came through, did their job, was fine. He was the first undisputed champion. He worked through whatever the pulling in talent, they didn't develop him, but they pulled him through the system. He worked. Whatever we say about Shinsuke, Shinsuke came through, worked, and is a valuable member of the roster. Not developing, but they used the system to get them through. Like, there are opportunities where Hunter's group worked. The NXT system worked. They created the talent. There have been off and on with other talent, the lower end of the talent, that they did not... They botched, in quotations. But the narrative, if they keep screwing up the main roster talent, is they don't always screw up the people from down there. Like... That's my point. Like, it's a narrative you want to use, but if you look at the numbers, there's been more success than failure.
Oh, yeah.
And that's all I want. That's the point I want to make. It's like, everyone goes for this point of they botch the talent. No, they don't. They give them the opportunity to, like, grow and become characters. Like, that's it. That's my point. I feel like I'm going in circles with it.
I just want to make this one last point.
Okay.
I think another thing that potentially hurt them was that while they produced a lot of top stars that are currently in the company right now, the talent that came up after that, the following classes that came up after that really, really good group.
Mid-teens group.
Mid-teens has not produced on the same level, and there has been a decline ever since that group. Like, Hunter had a really, really, really good group, and then it's like he kind of had hits and misses thereafter, and I think that also didn't play in his favor. Now, not all of that is on him at all. Not all of that is on the talent at all. Like I said, it's like it's all dependent on what they give you. It's you work with what you got.
They also,
right?
They also rehired a bunch of talent from the early 2000s to fill some gaps that didn't work out correctly. Like, Jinder Mahal era did not, like, catch fire with people.
By the way, Jinder booked a TV show. Congratulations, Jinder. But yeah, no, it's they've tried things. They've tried to fill gaps. It hasn't really worked, I don't think. I think they're trying to figure things out. Like I keep saying, it's unfortunate. It sucks. And I'm sure it's just killing. Well, that's the wrong word to use. It's hurting Hunter immensely to watch these people let go, because I know he was ultra invested in the system. I know he cares a lot about the talent down there, or at least that's what we're led to believe. And so you have to figure that watching these people that he's invested so much time and energy and effort in, watching them get let go, that's just really kind of awful for him. We'll just have to see, because the interesting thing is, like, Hunter, we haven't heard a lot about Hunter.
Nope.
We don't really know what's going on with Hunter.
Nope. I expect not to hear anything until January.
We'll have to see how this goes. But that does it for NXT, or I shouldn't even say NXT.
that was our NXT rundown.
Oh, fuck. That does it for the releases. Okay, so now we're going to talk about the other story, which is super fucking awkward now that they fired a whole bunch of people. Because today they dropped news about the WWE 2K22 game.
They couldn't wait till January. They had to give us news. So they gave us their hit list of the new additions to WWE 2K22. 10 features that make WWE 2K22 hit different. 1. A redesigned gameplay engine. The most important change in WWE 2K22 is the engine itself. Visual Concepts redesigned the gameplay and animation engine from the ground up to make every dive, kick out, and finisher feel as real as if players were sitting ringside at WrestleMania. As soon as the players pick up the controller, they'll feel the difference. New controls. The updated and incredibly intuitive control scheme hits different this year, configured to ensure that players have more control over every move in every situation. WWE 2K22 is easy to pick up and play while still allowing for high skill expression. Stunning graphics. Simply put, WWE 2K22 boosts the best ever graphics of WWE 2K. Scanning and animations are executed using the same industry-leading process as Visual Concepts NBA 2K franchise. And the team overhauled lighting and relit the game from the ground up. Immersive presentation. The most dynamic entry in the series today will take players out of the crowd and into the ring, creating an authentic WWE feeling throughout the game. New WWE 2K Showcase. Players can walk down memory lane and relive a legendary WWE superstar's most iconic matches and moments from the trailer. That's Rey Mysterio. My GM. Players will be able to draft superstars, book matches, and manage contracts and prove they have what it takes to run the most successful brand in sports entertainment. GM mode's back, everyone. Huzzah. My Faction. In the franchise froze, the all-new My Faction puts players in control of building a legendary faction that rivals the iconic NWO. Players will collect, manage, and upgrade superstars with weekly events and regular updates. There's your microtransactions. My Rise, an opportunity for players to experience the journey of a WWE superstar from the humble beginnings of a rookie, followed by the fanfare as a superstar, and then immortalized as a legend. New storylines will be available for both male and female My players. Universe Mode. Universe Mode returns, and offering players more control than ever before over brands, pay-per-views, matches, results, rivalries, and much, much more. And the Creation Suite. The Creation Suite is back, but better than ever. Players can be themselves or someone or something entirely different, with all sorts of wild options and fantasy elements. Then step inside into the ring at any time and anywhere in the world. WWE 2K20 is currently scheduled for release in March 2022, with additional details to be revealed in January 2022.
acting.
No, Ash, it won't be as bad as WWE 2K20. It's going to be a lot better. The controls are different. It's more of a fighting game, it seems, based on some of the controls they have. There's a heavy attack and a strong and a light attack. So there's a couple attack buttons for kicking and punching and stuff like that. There's different dodge. There's a dodge mechanic. There's a block mechanic. So it's going to be a little bit more fighting heavy, I think, which is good for people who don't want the complete simulation style. You'll probably have more feel and more control with some things. They redid a lot of the animations from what I've gathered, so they, quote-unquote, hit different, as you see some of the punching and stuff in there. They gave you MyGM, which is the content machine for the internet. They can have, you know, whatever they want and book their shows and everything like that. My faction, that's, like I said, that's probably going to be your microtransaction where you buy packs and create, like, an ultimate team in other video games. So, yeah, that's it. It's cool. They gave an update. They didn't have to. But I think with Survivor Series coming, they wanted to drop some knowledge and they had stuff available to deliver. So the graphics, you can see in the updated roster for now. So yeah, there's stuff to look forward to with the WWE 2K22. We'll have more coverage with it coming up. Yeah, so our friends over at 2K wanted us to share that information with you. So there we go.
I have to compliment on it because it looks really, really good. Like it always looks good in the trailer, right? Like it's usually, you know, they put the best footage and that kind of thing in it, but it looks good. It looks like it handles well. I'm curious to actually try it because I want to see how the fighting system works, because that was my one thing that I never really liked about the game, was it was very confusing to me because I'm just not a gamer. So it's not intuitive. It's not like you can pick it up, even though they give you a tutorial and they're like, yeah, this is how this works. I still end up sitting there mashing buttons because I just don't know what to do.
This will have more of a mash button feel a little bit.
So it's like if they simplified the system down, I'm very appreciative for that because I think that will make the game a little bit easier to handle and play. Because that is the one thing that it's like, I need simple. I'm not like one of these gamers that like, I can do
multiple things. That's why she liked Battlegrounds, because it was very simple and button mashy.
Yes. Yes, that was a good game. That was a very good game. I play Genshin too, and I struggle with Genshin because I don't know everything that the game does, and I don't understand artifacts, and I don't understand weapons, and I don't understand any of that shit. And I just figured out like 2 weeks ago that if I hold down my mouse button, the character will do something additional. And I was like, holy crap.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, it's not intuitive to me at all. So if they made the game a little bit easier to use and play, then I'm all for that.
We'll see what happens when the time comes. So there's that.
But that, I think, does it for the news. So now,
do you want to take a quick break or you just want to go to the pay-per-view?
Let's take a quick break because I need to go get more water. So when we come back, there will be no tweet of the week. We're just going to go right into Survivor Series. So you're seeing the rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
There is no one better at covering age. Than CB Radio Not So Live. Join Sir Rockin, the intern and lone jobber, as they go all elite with their breakdowns of every AEW pay-per-view event. CB Radio Not So Live, available after every AEW pay-per-view at WildTalkRadio.com and CBRadioLive.com.
Did you know you can use support a creator code ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Dwight Hendrickson from Haven, and you are listening to The Rack.
WildTalkRadio.com, but to our friends over at MBG Films, check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RecRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. Sorry, I ate chips on the break and I'm trying to swallow. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is click the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, hit the checkbox, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way. You can follow the channel. You can hang out in the chat, or you can hang out in the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, we are going to talk all about Survivor Series, which airs this Sunday on the Peacock Network here in the States. It is also available on the WWE Network and pay-per-view providers everywhere else.
So basically... Basically, now it's the show we were going to do.
Yeah, this is now the show we were going to do before WWE decided to drop, you know, news. Yes. So, yay!
Hold on. Before we get into all that, before we get into the show, you can make your picks at facebook.com/groups/WildTalkRadio Network starting tomorrow. Here's our news, because we'll tell it again here at the end of the show, but we have news for you. We have an announcement about the show. Your regularly scheduled Gobble Gobble Wobble Wobble Thanksgiving special will not be dropping on Thursday. I know, everyone's going to shed a tear. You're not going to get it on Thanksgiving. Sad. It'll be live this Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern right after NXT. We're doing it live. The Gobble Gobble Wobble Wobble Thanksgiving special will be live this Tuesday, 10 p.m. Eastern. You're welcome.
It's like we can either record it or we can just do it live. And seeing as I am taking next week off from work, we're doing it live.
And, you know, we have a prime example of CB Radio Not So Live. Live. That we did the other night. So, you know, things we would record, we're just going to do it live.
And they found a jobber.
We did. We'll see him again in February. But we found one.
You found a jobber.
We did.
Just save your jelly beans, everybody. So, all right. We're going to talk about this show. I'm actually personally looking forward to this show because they have done a very good job building some of these matches. I don't think they've done a good job building all of these matches. They have benefited from possibly some manufactured hate, possibly some real hate. I'm not sure which.
It's real.
I kind of have to squint my eyes at it a little bit just to make sure, but they have definitely benefited from that.
There's real life heat that they're just...
They're going with, which I applaud them for.
They're turned into the skin and going with it. We'll get to that one later.
It's like, you know what? Let's go for it. Let's just do the thing. So I'm going to kind of skip around a little bit because I don't want to start at the top of our recap at our pick list.
That's fine.
So let's talk about it. There's a lot of champion versus champion on this show.
Hold on. He has one. That's the gimmick, Ash. Brent sent him one. That's why we go through it. He's like four boxes of of Bean Boozle. That's the gimmick. That's why you can invest your channel points on having a mini jelly bean. All right, let's get into these champion versus champion matches.
I think it's mean personally, but
blame Brent.
It's whatever floats their boat.
It was Brent's idea.
Of course it was Brent's idea.
He's the one who bought them, so, you know.
The masochist and the sadist.
I just let him go with it, you know?
Oh, yeah. You let him go with it. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
The
other sadist on this network right here. The one that likes to torture us all. Uh-huh. Yeah. He just went with it.
Yeah, I did.
I see how you are.
I went with the flow.
Oh, right.
If you know anything about me, I just go with the flow.
Oh, that's a lie. You not only do you not go with the flow on occasion, you completely disrupt the flow. You avert the flow to a completely new flow.
I go with a flow.
Yeah, your own. And you make all the rest of us come with you.
And you have no problem with it.
Sometimes I do. You've gotten yelled at before. Don't lie.
Better than Ant Flow?
Anything is better than Ant Flow. I speak from experience. Anyway.
Champion versus champion. What
champion
we got?
Champion versus champion. So let's talk about it. Shinsuke Nakamura versus Damian Priest. Is it wrong I don't want them to fight and I want them to become best friends and they just gallivant around with their guitarist and have a good time?
No.
Like, that's what I want for these two. Like, I think the match is going to be really, really good. It's going to be interesting how they present Priest, because they're kind of doing, like, the angel devil sort of thing, where he's all good and happy, and then something happens and he snaps and he murders people. So, I don't know how this is going to go, but I'm looking forward to it. Should be good. This was, like, a last-minute announcement. They threw this on like, what, Monday?
They did, even though they've been saying they officially announced it on Monday, yeah. So, it's very simple. They've been riding the wave of Damian Priest all year. They have been protecting him. They've been pushing him. They've made him champion this year. He does the stuff with Bad Bunny. You know he's one of the pieces they're building around and such going forward. And he hasn't lost a singles match, I believe.
No, didn't he lose to Miz and Morrison?
Singles. He lost to them in a handicap match, I guess. But a singles match he has not lost on television, from what I've gathered. He's been on quite a roll. I know on the Sunday show they talked about, I think it was Tim who talked about Shinsuke and how he's going to, they'll protect him and everything. He just lost to Angel on SmackDown. Angel. The man who lost his last name, Angel. Also lost to Roman Tribute Troops. So I don't think they're worried about protecting Shinsuke in any manner, because he's the veteran guy who can take the loss. This is a clear Monday Night Raw victory with Damian Priest going over. If you're continuing the trend they've been doing all year.
I would agree with that. I mean, I love Shinsuke. Don't get me wrong. Adore Shinsuke. I think they see Damian as the future. They're building around him, like Rock said. He proved himself with Bad Bunny and being able to carry. So I see Damian going over. Especially seeing as they're coming up with a new character for him. It makes no sense to have him lose.
No, and again, Shinsuke can take the loss, bounce back.
Well, the thing about Shinsuke that sucks is they oftentimes sort of like use Shinsuke, and as they should, to get people over, but I feel like they should at some point begin to rebuild Shinsuke, because he really is a viable person for them. I think that he could do more than what they've let him do. I just think he has that factor that they look for, and so I would hate to see him lose, but I think he could do more, and I think if they like give him more on SmackDown, that would be good.
So, Magic 8-Ball, will Shinsuke Nakamura win? Concentrate and ask him. Before I do, I'll spin the wheel.
Wrestler 1.
That would be Damian Priest. So let's ask again, will Damian Priest win? Magic 8-Ball. It is certain. So the 8-Ball and us are going with Damian. So is the wheel too, right? Yeah.
We're doomed.
We're doomed. Yeah. We're all doomed.
So, up next, we have champion versus champion, RK-Bro taking on the Usos. This is an interesting little group here, and they've been screwing with each other. This is one of the ones where you're kind of like, okay, all right, let's see where this goes. We got Randy to admit his love for Matt Riddle on Monday. That happened.
That did
happen. For Matt, he needs to run, because that's generally the kiss of death. when Randy admits that he loves you. Let us not forget what happened to Bray. He lit the whole damn compound on fire.
He did.
While swearing fealty to him. So, I don't know how to pick this.
I'm looking forward to seeing Riddle get in the ring with the Usos.
Should be fun. It should be really fun.
I feel like we're going to get a really good match. Now, we saw some of it on Monday, but it's like I think we're going to see a lot more on Sunday. I think it's going to be one of the better matches on the show. But then again, you have a match full of 2 10-man tags. So, yeah. The whole show is going to have good wrestling. Looking like up and down the card that we have in front of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just went Raw, and I see a match for SmackDown. That's very easy for a winner. The other match, I'm not positive on. And then, so it's like I'm trying to go Raw, SmackDown, trying to figure it out. If I'm going in that fashion, I think the Usos come out victors because they're part of the bloodline.
I feel like, and this is me just because this is my mindset, I feel like whoever wins this match is going to determine the outcome in part to the Roman match. Because I feel like it's either you have all of the bloodline win, you have none of the bloodline win, or you have one win. And I can see the Usos winning and Roman losing. But I can also see the Usos losing and Roman winning, which I know is not an answer. That's all the possibilities that could happen. But...
You can't. No, you're incorrect. There could be a draw.
There could be a draw. They don't do draws in WWE.
Or a double DQ, you know what I mean. There could be no winner.
Well, I was not including the draws because they never do them. Or double DQs because they rarely do double DQs. They do single, but they don't do double. And this could be a DQ here. Like this, they could do that finish here. I doubt it. I can see RK-Bro winning. I kind of want to pick RK-Bro because I feel like the Usos are going to lose here. I don't know why I get that impression, but I just don't see the Usos overcoming RK-Bro. Now, they could. They totally could. But for whatever reason, my heart is telling me RK-Bro. But it's really close.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, because I want to pick RK-Bro as well. I can see the Usos winning. Like, I can see it.
Because I feel like what they're going to tell is it's all going to come down to Roman again. Like, the Usos lose, and it's like, okay, all right, well, it's all down to Roman to carry it for SmackDown. He has to pick up the victory, right? Like, he has to do that. And so, you know, Roman goes into his match with a fire lit under him. Because I feel like at some point you have to have the bloodline start to have some hiccups, and I think they've already begun that. There's been a little bit of dissension in the ranks within the bloodline. There have been some problems over the last few weeks, months, since WrestleMania. Since SummerSlam. So, I don't know why. I can see the Usos losing here. I just see it.
Randy's the bigger star. I think his team wins.
They've been teasing tension between Randy and Riddle, but I don't think it's at a boiling point yet. I don't think they're going to have Randy turn just
I don't think they're building tension. I think they're building Riddle to go more, lean more Randy's ways than going on his own ways. Randy's trying to teach him to be more Randy than more bro.
He's trying to make Matt be serious.
Yes, before the eventual breakup. Yes. So we're going RK-Bro?
I'm going RK-Bro.
I'm going RK-Bro. Magic 8-Ball, will the Usos win? You may rely on the Usos winning. Wheel.
Wrestler 3.
There's your, you know, no winner.
Wrestler 3!
Wrestler 1.
That would be RK-Bro. Bro.
Okay. Let's talk about it. I'm going to kind of split them up. The Survivor Series Elimination Match. The men. We have Team Raw, which is Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, Austin Theory, and Bobby Lashley, taking on SmackDown, which is Drew McIntyre, Jeff Hardy, King Woods, Happy Corbin, and to be determined because they don't have a fifth guy yet. So I just see Team Raw being a complete and utter clusterfuck from the start. None of these people like each other. They're all going to try to murder Seth. Austin's going to be taking selfies.
Yes, but in terms of star power, bigger main eventers, Raw has the advantage.
Does it?
Yes.
I mean, SmackDown has Drew and Jeff.
They have Rollins, Balor, Owens, and Lashley.
don't know about that, dude.
Lashley's better than... We'll go with it. Lashley's better than Corbin, right?
Yeah.
Kevin Owens, I think, is a bigger deal than Jeff Hardy, based on how they've been pushing him. Kevin's been in world title matches here. What has Jeff done?
Yeah, but Jeff has a body of work that exceeds Kevin's.
Kevin's been undisputed champion more recently. I don't know. Finn?
I can't give you Kevin Owens over Jeff Hardy. I can't do that. Just based on everything that Jeff Hardy has done in his career, I feel like Jeff Hardy is still the bigger name than Kevin Owens, just because everybody still knows who the Hardy Boys are.
Finn's over Woods.
I don't know. I feel like at this stage they're on the same level.
I still think Finn's up more than Woods.
They're pushing Woods, though.
They're pushing Finn, too.
Not as hard.
And then Seth and Drew are equal.
Yeah.
Go do the body of work thing.
Well, if you're going to do the body of work thing, I think Drew kind of exceeds Seth a little bit.
No. Drew had the one run.
It was a really long run.
It wasn't that long. Seth had the same length. And then
I don't know.
Austin Theory is as the right now better than a TBA. Because who knows what TBA is. I just think Raw has the bigger star power in terms of... Because Corbin just brings that down. It brings that bell curve down. I like Happy Corbin, but it brings that bell curve down.
I feel like in terms of, you know, working together, I think SmackDown has a better chance of achieving that than Raw.
With Woods, Drew, and Jeff, yes. Corbin's going to, like, get out of there really quick.
But if you get a fourth that works with them, you're solid. Raw's going to have a lot of, like, problems in terms of everybody getting along, right? Because you have a lot of really big personalities in there that are going to go for themselves. Like, there's Seth, right, who's just going to be obnoxious. There's Kevin, who they're turning heel. They're in the process of doing that. There's Bobby Lashley, who's been your number one heel on Raw for a very long time. They've cooled him off. Now they're bringing him back. Austin Theory. Is Austin... I guess Austin's technically a heel. They're building him.
Oh,
actually,
he's 100%
what's interesting...
Heel. Go on.
What's interesting is the only babyface on this team is Finn Balor. And even then, I don't really know if he's a babyface.
You know, he's clearly a babyface. And that's good. Like, Team Raw... And I don't know... You won't remember because you didn't start till after the 2000s. Back in like 95, they had a wild card Survivor Series team. This is what this feels like for Finn being there with a bunch of heels. It's like it was Shawn and Ahmed teaming with Sid and the Bulldog, and you had Razor teaming with Yoko, Owen, and Dean Douglas, three heels at the time. It's like a wild card match. It was different. It was unique at that time. That's what this feels like with that makeup, where they have to get along to have brand supremacy, but none of them give a shit about the other. They all want the title, except for Austin Theory. He just wants a selfie. So it's like, last year, it was Seth who gave himself up and you know, did the deed to sacrifice himself so he can go have a baby?
Yeah.
You could see this as Seth's redemption arc, where he, like, that's the thing. Like, I see a Seth Rollins redemption arc here in terms of where the character's going, since it's going towards Big E. He needs another... The cockier Seth can become, the better it is for his character. So if he leads Team Raw to victory, it's another look-at-me thing, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, I feel you on that.
And that obnoxious laugh will just get louder and louder and louder. He's the leader of Raw. I'm going to be the next champion. Ha 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 ha. Et cetera, et cetera.
But I wonder, because I feel like... I might as well just bring it up now, because I was going to split them up, but we might as well talk about it now. Like, I was seeing the women on Raw win, and the men on SmackDown win.
Because I can make the same argument about Drew. Drew, is if he's going after Roman, should be the one who comes out on top on this. And get a real splash moment, because he hasn't really had a splash moment in a while. The Jinder match at SummerSlam wasn't a splash moment, it was just a win. He hasn't had a big moment in a while.
Same thing goes for Woods, too. Like, you have, like, what happens if Xavier is the sole survivor coming out of Survivor Series and he carries the W for SmackDown? So now he's the sole survivor, King Xavier Woods. And because they are pushing for him to go at Roman at some point, they've been teasing it. The two had a match, and Xavier beat Roman.
By DQ, yeah.
By DQ, but he still beat him.
Still, but then lost his crown.
We'll get it back. He can get another one made. That one was ugly anyway.
But you bring up both matches, right?
Mm-hmm.
Might as well talk about them. You go, you look at Team SmackDown. Sasha and Shotzi are going to take each other out. Because they're feuding. They have a match on Friday, and I think they're just going to... Their problems are going to take each other out. The wild card in it, which makes no sense. Tony Storm. Love Tony Storm, right? I don't know. I thought that spot was going to go to Naomi. Because that would have made... that would have been the shit-stirring spot, but they got Eva Leah the win and then took her out. Unless they're trying to do a Leah-Tony as a thing? That was the confusing part of it.
They clearly want to do something with Tony. That's why they're putting her in the match. That or maybe they don't feel like Aaliyah had it. Like they saw her and they're like, I don't know. Because I like Aaliyah, but she's never struck me as the strongest wrestler that they have. Tony Storm is much better.
Yeah, she's the more improved wrestler, but... Aaliyah had crowd support fire, so it was a letdown kind of thing. But then you look at the Team Raw, Bianca, Rhea, Liv, Carmella, Zelina. Okay, you have Liv and Bianca who they really are trying to make right now. This would be a good moment for Bianca to be a star. But as we saw 2 weeks ago, Doudrop could take her out.
Doudrop could.
But then you can give the argument that Becky was making, Liv hasn't done anything. Liv winning Survivor Series puts a feather in her cap.
Mm-hmm. I feel like in terms of Doudrop could try with Bianca, but I think they need to put a little shine back on Bianca, just a little bit, because she's been losing a lot recently. And you have her do that by Doudrop comes for her and she takes Doudrop out.
Yeah, but it's the easy way to get someone out. It's the easy way to get someone counted out with them having to take a fall. Because you don't want Bianca taking a fall in this match at all. So if you want to protect her, having her being eliminated by count out doesn't hurt her.
Mm-mm.
I could see Carmella and Zelina taking a fall. I can even see Rhea taking a fall to someone like Shayna. I can see it. My brain goes that way. I think Liv comes out, has to look like the biggest star coming out of this since she's the next challenger. Bianca, if Bianca and Liv be the sole survivors, I hate that term because that's not what it means, as the survivors.
I can see that.
Could be a thing. But does them as a duo take shine away from Liv? That's where my brain's going.
I don't know if it'll come down to who's going to be the survivor or not. I don't want to go that far with it, but at least for the way that I'm picking this, I see SmackDown picking up the men's and Raw picking up the women's. Just because looking at the teams, that makes the most sense to me based on how they're writing right now. Because for Team Raw, when they lose, that will cause a lot of dissension in the team, and that can build other things within Raw itself. Especially for Seth, because they're having Seth just kind of be the main antagonist for everybody. They're having Austin Theory be an antagonist for everybody. It's not just, babyface alone. It's heels as well. They're just pissing everybody off so that they can continue to build that out of Survivor Series. And then you can have Drew and Xavier move on to Roman at some point to challenge Roman, either at the first of the year, either at Rumble, what have you. But you set Drew and Woods up in a really strong position for the first of the year. And then on the flip side, like you were saying, it's like you put a little shine on Bianca, you put a little shine on Liv, Carmella, Zelina, and Rhea all benefit from the win. And then you'll continue your feuds on SmackDown between Sasha and Shotzi, and then you'll have Shayna. Although Shayna has the benefit of Sonya Deville.
She does, but you can also do the opposite for Shayna, have Naomi come out and stir the pot.
Her. So, since we're doing both, my official pick, SmackDown for the men, Raw for the women, in the Survivor Series elimination matches. You?
For the men, see, I'm going Team Raw, Team Raw, Team Raw, and everything. SmackDown need a win to make, I don't want to pick everything going Raw, but I have my brain, I have 5 Raw, 1 SmackDown. And I don't think that's going to be how things go. But I don't see... Team SmackDown wins the men. So we'll do it this way. Magic 8-Ball, does Team Raw men win? 8-Ball says most likely. Wheel. This is men's.
Wrestler 2.
They have SmackDown. For the women, I have Team Raw. Because that's the, out of the two, that's the one I'm most confident with.
Yeah.
And I worry about Tony being this match because they were pushing her to Charlotte for a title match. And I don't see her coming out of it strong. And I hate that. Doesn't, something about this situation, like she could be down. Liv and Tony in the end, that could be interesting. Anyway, Magic 8-Ball, will Team SmackDown win for the women? Very doubtful. Alright, Wheel.
Wrestler 2.
That's SmackDown. See, like, my brain's now, like, going SmackDown, SmackDown. Raw's winning a lot of these matches, and maybe I may have to pick the Usos. I don't know. Let's go. Keep going.
Alright, so, let's talk about the match. The one that we are all, I feel like, looking forward to. The one that has been fueled by the hate. That has had so much reality based in it, supposedly. Wink, wink, wink. And that is Becky Lynch taking on Charlotte Flair.
So, Ariel Helwani titled this the People's Main Event. That's a fitting title.
I mean, yeah.
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 So, there's a lot here. There's a lot. We're getting to the point, whether they've turned into a skit or not, there is tension between the two women. It was very much described of a situation by Becky on Ariel Helwani's MMA Hour that there are issues there, and Becky was unhappy with certain things Charlotte did a couple weeks ago on SmackDown. We're all aware when she dropped the bell, when she shouldn't have let the belt hit the floor. And because she described that the situation was not supposed to be about her, between her and Charlotte. It was supposed to be Charlotte and Sasha as the moment, because she was just, they were just changing belts, and the Sasha-Charlotte confrontation was supposed to be the thing. There has been personal animosity between the two for a long time. They were once the best of friends, now they're bitter enemies, as the term goes. Becky was asked by Ariel Monte about the situation, and the match was Charlotte. Is it awkward? Her response, extremely. Ariel said, would you rather not be working with her? She pauses. I also like money, Ariel, and so this is money. People are interested. I love that people are interested, and I love that people don't know how this is going to go. I don't know how it's going to go. I don't know if this is going to be just an all-out brawl. I don't know if this is going to be just Venom behind every move. I don't know if we're going to be able to get to the match. I don't know if there's going to be a fight backstage. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. I think that's exciting for me and the audience. She would talk about the tension that's been there, and how people are jealous of the growth of others. How the man overtook the queen in certain aspects. Some people are more privileged than others because of their name and believe they have earned certain things. So the relationship between the two of them worked when one of them was below the other. But when they're on equal foot or ahead now, the other is not so happy. Charlotte's gone on diatribes on interviews about gender and stuff like that. That just seemed weird. But yeah, there's tension. They had a fight, and it split the relationship. Whatever this tension is, this is probably added fuel to the fire, which sucks, but that's the situation we're in. It makes for an interesting match, because there ain't gonna be no people, everyone's gonna be glued to their television sets, or their iPads, or their computer screens, or a backstage monitor when Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair get in the ring. Like, people were, 21 years ago at this point? God, 21 years ago. At Survivor Series 97 for the Screwjob? Or was it not 21? It's 24. 24 years ago? Yeah. It's been a while. I don't know about you, but shut up and take my money.
I'm so ready for this in so many different ways. I love how they've done this, where they've leaned into the skid, but they've done it ever so slightly. And where all of the shit talking is happening in the media, you have not had them touch. You have not had them brawl. You have not had them do anything other than talk shit on Twitter and through media, yeah. Which is exactly the way that you want to do this. This is how you want to build this. And the fact that the stories have leaked that, oh, there's tension. Oh, there's problems. Oh, they hate each other. Oh, they want to kill each other. That's how you do that. That's how you create interest in it. Because what do we all love? We all love drama. We all love to sit here and just drink our tea and watch the drama unfold. because that's what we're all here for. Don't lie to me and say that you're here for the wrestling. You're not. You're here for the drama. Okay? We all are. That's why, like, you know, TMZ is a thing. That's why reality shows are a thing. We are all assholes and we all enjoy drama very, very much. With this is going to be physical as shit. I have every anticipation of that. I feel like they are going to go out there and they are going to knock each other around quite a bit. I feel like this should not be a wrestling match. I feel like this should actually be a brawl between the two, just because of all the animosity and the tension and everything that's there. Like, if they go out there and just have a regular old wrestling match, I think a lot of people are going to be very disappointed. I'm actually surprised a stip didn't get slapped on this just cause, but I also think they didn't do it because reasons. So
there's always day of show, and then 20 minutes later they can take it off.
Right. So I don't know how this is going to go.
So
I'm not sure.
So the reason why there doesn't need to be a stip, because all of your extracurricular stuff can happen before a bell.
Oh yeah.
If you want them to brawl and have this big ass fight, you could do it before the bell.
Totally. Without question.
And maybe that's a good thing. I think them getting in the ring together, while maybe awkward, may be the best thing for them so they can rebuild trust. Because Becky was on Ariel and talked a lot about trust and how in the business, you need to trust the person you're in the ring with, because professional wrestling is all about trust. Because you're giving your body to that person. Maybe this will bring some trust back into the relationship that's non-existent right now.
No.
I said maybe.
No. You're not going to go out there. They're not going to go out there and become BFFs again. That's just not how that's going to work.
No, I said trust. I didn't say BFF. I said trust.
But part of that is trust. Like, to trust someone is to call them among a specific level of friends. And I think there's too much that has passed there for them to be able to rebuild it. This is my personal theory. Please don't at me for it.
At Flames Forums.
My personal theory is that Charlotte is trying to get out. Charlotte is doing what she can to get out. The signs are pointing at it because Andrade is in AEW. Rick has been released of his own volition, and now Rick is out there talking shit on Twitter.
He's clout chasing. Oh my god, he's clout chasing.
Rick, honey, chill. It's fine. And I think she's trying to get out of the company, and so I think she's doing what she can to get out, because I think she doesn't want to be in Becky's shadow, which I can respect. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't want to, like, project on anybody, but I think Charlotte is ready to move on to other things. I think she's been ready to move on to other things for quite a while, and I think she has people in her ear telling her that she deserves better than what she has, that she doesn't deserve to play second fiddle to Becky Lynch. Again, not projecting, just personal theory. On Becky's side of things, Becky has the locker room support. People are behind Becky. People are supporting Becky.
And it's not just wrestlers.
And it's not just wrestlers. Becky has management behind her.
Management, the producers, the just everyday people who no one knows are happy with what Becky's doing.
Yeah. Charlotte does not have a lot of support right now. I feel bad for her because of that. Because it's like, you look at everything she's done and it seems kind of like a waste right now. Because I feel like we're watching the fall of Charlotte Flair in real time. I don't know why I say that, but I just, that's the sense that I get from it, is that Charlotte is just, we're watching a fall from grace right now. And I don't know if it's engineered, I don't know if it's accidental, I don't know what all it is, but just, I feel like that's what we're watching. And I don't necessarily like it. Because I admire Charlotte. I think she's very talented. I think she's done a lot. She gained a lot because of who she is. Yes, absolutely. You know, she's Ric Flair's daughter. And as we know, Ric Flair is a favorite of Hunter's, and when Charlotte came in, Hunter was in charge of NXT. He made sure he gave her the world. And in turn, Vince has handed her the world, and they have done a lot of things for her. They have made her as a wrestling superstar, because she wasn't anyone when she came in. She really does owe all of her success to WWE. Does that mean she should stay with them? No. You know, go where the money is, go where the fame is, do what you gotta do to maintain your lifestyle, but that's just something to keep in mind, because I feel like maybe the way that she's acting could be a little bit of a poor return on the investment. I don't know, though. Like, it's just, we don't know how she's actually acting. I'm just, like, speculating at this point. But in terms of the match...
Before, as you go back and forth and you head on who you're going to pick...
I don't know who to pick.
I know, so I'm going to give you a moment. So, you look at everything Charlotte's done, and you talk about how this is her falling from grace and stuff. Falling from grace as a SmackDown, as a multi-time women's champion is an interesting way to do it. But no, she's creating this environment where she's creating a story to get her out. Things don't go well, and everything like that. She became part of the business because it's supposed to be her and her brother. And she wrestled and took his spot after he died. She became the star for him. She's accomplished that. It was a family thing. Family's no longer there with her. Her fiance is in another promotion. Her father has had run-ins with them, with the WWE, and is no longer with them. He's now trying to burn bridges or say WWE's erasing him. That was the dumbest.
I don't understand that. How the hell are they erasing his legacy?
They
sucked your dick for like 10 years, dude.
They got rid of the woo in their opening because you're not there. I mean, like. Okay, that's yeah. Okay,
got rid of the woo in the opening because supposedly he got caught eating pussy on a train.
That too, woo. But no, it was. They're not getting rid of Rick. Hunter's not there. Yep. Like that linchpin. She, for everything you want to say, Charlotte was a Hunter girl.
Yep.
And a lot of this tension probably could have been resolved if someone was there to mediate it. He's not.
God damn it, Hunter.
Like, that's...
We need you, come back!
Like, that's the thing. He's not there. It's... And I think she sees the writing. I think a lot of people do, going back to the beginning of the show.
Could she be the first one that says, I've had enough. I'm tired of this. I want out.
But I think it's a lot of people in her ear. I think she's been fed information. She's been fed things to boost an ego.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that is ultimately what we're seeing. Not on television, but in the media. She's been fed things to sort of push an agenda that they have, rightly or wrongly. You know? And I don't think her wanting out is because she doesn't think she can't have success in WWE. I think she's being told that to get out, to be with someone else. And it's not to be the top dog in AEW, it's just to be with the fiancé so they can travel the world together, which is how they fell in love.
Yeah, like him getting let go definitely put a wind in her sail, or took the wind out of her sails. You can tell he's in her ear, and this is not blaming him at all, by the way. You can tell he's in her ear, and you can tell that he's had a lot of influence over her, and he continues to have a lot of influence over her, because of course he does. They're engaged, they're going to get married. And he had the majority of the pandemic, at least on the back half, with her, because she went out for surgery and to shoot a movie. So she was off TV for a considerable amount of time. And so Andrade had her, you know, to himself, and in that time he got let go, and then she came back. I'm not saying she's leaving because, you know, she doesn't feel like she has success. I don't think that at all. I think if she decided to stay, they would still continue to push the crap out of her, because
she's not going anywhere if she stays.
Yeah, she is a viable, bankable star for them. And you can fuck with certain people. I don't think you can fuck with a Flair that hard. Although Vince could. Vince could decide, you know what, I've had enough of your crap. I'm done. We're out.
But
that
Vince,
could easily
Vince
isn't, happen.
It's easy to happen, but Vince isn't stupid.
No, Vince is not stupid.
He knows he's not going to fuck with the Flair because the Flair makes him the money.
Yeah. So there's a lot of issues there. There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that we don't know and we don't see. And so that's what makes this even harder, because there have always been rumors about her. Ever since she was in NXT, they've kind of talked about how she can be difficult, how she does have a little bit of an ego, and that's obviously carried forward to today. And I'm sure that ego has grown, because she's Charlotte Flair. She's a 12 or 13 time women's champion. She's done everything that you can do in WWE, including main event WrestleMania. She could retire tomorrow and be a bona fide Hall of Famer. That's what they've done for her. That's how much they've made her. Like, she could leave and just be good for the rest of her life, because I'm sure they've paid her very, very well for what she's done. That's just it. And I have a really good feeling she's smarter than her dad with money.
Unless she's had to bail him out.
I don't think so.
You never know.
I think he had, like, the Hunter stuff, and Hunter has bailed him out probably more than her, but I'm sure she's helped. But I don't think it's something that she's, like, going to shell out for him, because she knows his lifestyle, and I think she recognizes that it's going to happen again. So she's saving her money, because I think she doesn't want to be like her father. But what I'm saying is that she could be ready to move on to somewhere else. Maybe not AEW. Maybe she wants to go home. Maybe she wants to be a model. Maybe she wants to go to Hollywood. She has lost a lot of weight and a lot of muscle mass to allow her to do more modeling work. We see her posting a lot of pictures of her in various outfits. And that could be where she's looking to go. Is, okay, I've done my time in wrestling. I've become a huge star in wrestling. Check. Done. Move on. On to the next thing. That could be it. And so she's either trying to find a way to get out of her contract, or she's at the end of her contract and she's like, fuck it, I don't care. We don't really know. But what we do know is that her and Becky Lynch do not like each other. And they're going to be in a ring together on Sunday. And they're probably going to beat the ever-living shit out of each other. And I don't know who to pick.
All right, so staying directly on the match, right? Do you appease Charlotte Flair and put her over?
I don't know. Because here's the thing. Who do you go with, the one you like better? Because Becky has the management support. Becky has the booker support. Becky has the company behind her. And I feel like, given everything that's happened, because they are known to do this, they maybe teach Charlotte a little lesson, and they maybe make her lay down for Becky.
That's what's going to be my next statement. Or do you humble Charlotte? Or this could be the one match where you have no winner.
I feel like in this instance, no winner is the smartest thing you can do. I'm serious.
Oh, I know.
I'm serious about this, that you just have that double DQ and you just move on from it. That, or it never starts and they just fight.
I think it starts. They fight. It starts. But you can have one of them go over by DQ, because it's not the other laying down for the other. Like, I think you can like, Becky's the team player who would eat the loss.
She would not be happy about it.
Happy about it, but I think she would play the team role. But God, you don't need her losing. You don't need her losing. I'm thinking Becky has to go over in this match.
That's where my brain was going with it, is that you have Becky win.
Because I think Charlotte can eat the loss, because it's Charlotte and her character can survive from it. Becky sees the opportunity. She beat me. Yada, yada, yada. I'm still the opportunity. Who's next? Becky's supposed to be you're building a new character for Becky. She's a heel. Your strongest program right now is going to be Liv versus Becky. It's the one that needs the most protection. Charlotte versus Sasha, you don't need any protection. Charlotte versus Shotzi, you don't need protection. But your biggest feud, you're going out of this, is Liv and Becky. And you need people strong for that. Because Liv trying to mock Becky just doesn't work. This is me long-term looking at it. God, Becky wins. I don't know how. Manhandle slam, small package, whatever. Becky goes over Charlotte.
The only linchpin in this that I see is Liv could cost Becky. And that's how you have Charlotte go over.
I don't know.
You have Liv riding her high after winning Survivor Series. And so she comes out and she interrupts Becky, and she costs Becky the match with Charlotte, which allows Charlotte to go over, and it puts even more heat on Liv with Becky, because it's, you bitch, you have no idea what you've just done.
You can also linchpin with Sasha coming out and costing Charlotte.
Absolutely, that's the other side of it. Like, you could see it both ways, but I think Liv costing Becky is the stronger solution there.
If you need
because it, Charlotte and Sasha, we've seen it before.
Yeah, that's why I was saying it doesn't need protection.
Whereas Liv is craving Becky's attention. Liv wants to piss Becky off. She wants the match with Becky. She wants her to say, you know what, let's fight. This would be the perfect way for Liv to say, okay, all right, what's the one thing you want? Ooh, you want to be Charlotte? You want to do it at Survivor Series? Well, we just can't have that now, can we? And she costs Becky the match. But I think, ultimately, I think Becky has to go over. I think that's just where my heart is going. Like, I just feel like the way that this is all being done and all of this is being handled is there. And they're almost leaning into it a little bit too much. So that's why I have a lot of doubt in my mind, is that they're painting Becky in a better light than they're painting Charlotte.
Go on.
And I don't know if that's themselves doing that, or if that's WWE and the way that they're cutting the footage, because it's like Charlotte's been giving interviews and Charlotte's been talking a lot about how, like, well, if I were a man, nobody would be like calling me on this. Nobody would be questioning me on this. It's like, no, if you're an asshole at work, it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. It's you're just still an asshole at work. Like, that's the thing. If you're difficult to work with, that's a genderless issue, because we all have those people that we work with that we don't like because they're just a pain in the ass.
Okay, so I'm going to give you another reason why Becky needs to win and why it's the linchpin for her to continue winning. Liv's not going to win the championship, and if she does, I think Becky gets it back. But the Mania match should be Bianca and Becky, and Bianca gets her stuff back at the end of the day. So you got to keep Becky the strongest, because it would make the most sense.
Mm-hmm. I can say that.
That's just me. So let's make a pick.
I'm going Becky.
I'm going Becky. 8-ball, does Charlotte win? 8-ball, oh. 8-ball says yes. Wheel, this is not a time for a Wrestler 3.
Wrestler 2.
That's Charlotte.
Okay, so we are decidedly split. All right. So up next, in the last match of the evening that we are going to be discussing, we have Roman Reigns taking on Big E. Oh, Jesus. Why did they do this to us? This is the other one.
So honestly, Becky and Charlotte should close out the show.
Mm-hmm.
LOL, Roman wins at the start of the show. I'll give you the reason why Roman Reigns needs to win. One, he's not been pinned in any manner in almost a year and a half to 2 years. You got to keep that strong, number one. When Roman loses, it should be for the championship. He should lay down clean in the middle. Someone beats the streak. That's how that should end.
Wait. You could have Taker come back and take Roman's streak.
I knew once I said beat the streak, you were going to bring up Taker. So.
But it could totally happen.
Mark can't work anymore. He said it. His knees are shot. Nope.
But he could just come out and knock Roman out with his fist and then just like stand on him.
No, that's not.
He doesn't need knees to punch people.
So the reason why I say Becky and Charlotte should be your main event, this should be your opener. And Roman Reigns leads the charge for SmackDown with a win. The troops should rally around Roman. Then you watch disappointment after disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. He set the standard for SmackDown, winning the opening match. Because if you look how we pick most of these matches, we win majority Raw. You know what I mean?
Okay. And?
So, like, the story is Roman led the charge. No one else followed. We like Big E. We love Big E. He should not beat Roman Reigns.
I feel like he should, though.
Tell me why.
Because you're trying to establish E still as a legitimate champion. This would be considered really his first really big challenge as a champion. And because it's not for a title, you could have E beat Roman. And you could establish E with Roman as a legitimate, viable champion. Not that he isn't, and I'm not saying that he isn't, because he absolutely fucking is. But I feel like in this instance with Roman, you could use him to your benefit to absolutely establish E and set him up as a dominant Raw champion, especially considering the fact that he's got people like Seth and Kevin coming for him. And prior to now, he's been the New Day guy. Like, you have him continuing to be more serious. You have him continuing to look the threats in the eye, but you need a really big, strong victory with him to establish him. He hasn't had that yet. Roman could give that to him. Because here's the thing. Roman could eat the loss and be fine. Plus, you have Woods coming for him. Think about Woods chapping Roman's ass repeatedly. Like, oh, look at you. The big, strong, dominant Roman Reigns. You lost to fucking E. You lost to my boy. And now you're going to lose to me too. Stand back and fucking watch this. Like, that's, I can see that completely going. Like, you could benefit E and technically Xavier both from it in one shot. If Roman wins, it does nothing for anybody. It's just LOL Roman wins. Nobody benefits, and E suffers for it. Because then you have people like Seth and Kevin coming for E going, oh, hey, look, you lost to Roman. Lol. I just feel like in my heart of hearts, it shouldn't be LOL Roman wins. It should be E wins. Because just think of that moment. Think of E standing tall over Roman, and he gets the match that he never got on SmackDown.
If there was something at stake, that makes sense. There's nothing at stake. Because there's nothing at stake, Roman needs his streak.
I don't think he does.
He does. Because he wouldn't be on the streak he's on for it not to matter.
But it could matter here. That's what I'm saying.
If there, it could. But there's nothing here. It's a match. There's no championship on the line. There needs to be a stake.
There's pride on the line.
For people who've been on a brand for 2 months. I buy in your theories. I buy them. If it was for the WWE Universal title, it makes sense. It's not. Like, it's hard to get past, like, what their long-term vision is for a night of Survivor Series where you put it out there where Seth Rollins can hold it over E that you just lost to Roman. I can beat Roman. I can beat you. Big E then beats Rollins. Squashes all that. It sucks. But in the tier, if you tiered it, Roman's 1, Big E's 2. That's where it's at. They're not equals. They should be. They're not. It sucks. Like, a big win for Big E over Roman, it'd be huge. But I don't know if that's their end goal. Like, that's the thing. Their vision of what their company is Roman on top. But it just, I can't see E winning this one.
I can. I'm picking E.
I know you can. I just can't see it. Because of who they're making. Like, they talked about Sunday a year ago, Roman could have eaten the loss to Drew, but Roman won. Or couldn't eat the loss because he was still building. You still need to build. Like, he's so established right now that you gotta, if we want people to care about wins and losses and streaks on a show with no stakes, Roman shouldn't lose. And I hate saying that. Like, it pains me to go, to build the case for Roman, because I would build the case you just made for Big E. He needs it. If you want to elevate someone, you elevate Big E by beating Roman Reigns. I just don't think they're interested in elevating E to Roman's level.
Then why make him champion at all? Like, why go to the trouble of doing it? Like, that's what doesn't make sense to me, because it's like you could have another person on Roman's level or start to build E to Roman's level, because eventually you're going to have to take the title off of Roman. And whoever takes the title off of Roman needs to be able to essentially replace him, because Roman has been such a strong, dominant champion throughout this whole thing for a year, over a year. Like, he's officially exceeded CM Punk with authority, and he's continuing to go. Like, he's going to be well into the new year before he ever loses the title.
If not longer.
If not longer. Like, they could make him a 2-year champion. That's the thing. Which is unheard of in that company. Granted, Roman won it at SummerSlam during the pandemic. And so, he didn't have a lot of challengers at the beginning. But he still held it for over a year, and he's potentially looking at doing it for 2. They've only ever done that in the modern era with the UK title. That's the only title that just goes on someone and just sits there. The other titles are much less static. They move more. So what they're doing with Roman and the title is absolutely unheard of in this era of WWE.
Okay.
So I'm
going to build your case for you a minute for you. Here's how I can see Roman losing. So this Sunday this week marked 25 years for The Rock, correct?
Mm-hmm.
We did a whole tier list for it. Supposedly, Dwayne's in Australia. Has anyone seen him yet? I don't know. So Dwayne could be on a flight Friday night and make his way back to Brooklyn on Sunday. Imagine Big E wins at the main event. Big E exits the ring. You hear all the boos for Roman. And you lost or whatever. They all boo him, right? The Rock walks out. Looks him up and down. Head at the table. My ass drops him with a rock bottom. There's your setup for whatever the future holds. Could also see the opposite way where Roman sees these tough shit and then, you know, Dwayne puts him in his place. That also could happen. If The Rock's even coming. I don't think he is anymore. I think he's in Australia filming a movie. Or wherever he was going to be. New Zealand, Australia, wherever.
I could see him doing that. But yeah, I just, in my heart, I want E to win. That's just it. That's what I want. As a fan, as someone watching this show, I want E to win because I love E, and E's the good guy, and you want to see E prevail because he has waited for this for so long. Like, he's been in the wings waiting while people like Roman have been in the spotlight and have continued to enjoy the spotlight. And despite the fact that Roman had to go away in the pandemic because he's autoimmune and absolutely nobody blames him for that, E stayed in the pandemic. He stayed and he worked. He trudged through the pandemic. He trudged through the death of one of his very close friends. He hardly took, I think, any time off after that. And he was there week in and week out, busting his ass. He's busted his ass for, what, 7 years to get here. It's kind of the perfect story that Big E at Survivor Series takes down the head of the table because it's Raw versus SmackDown. And you have E get that decided victory over SmackDown, representing his brand, as you said, leading the charge for Raw. So I'm going Big E. You can do whatever the fuck you want.
whatever the hell you want. Yeah. Yeah. Going Roman. I think the streak's more valuable than Big E winning. 8-Ball. Big E win? 8-Ball says no.
It's fired.
Wheel.
Wrestler 1.
That's Big E.
It can stay.
So that's our show.
That's our show. So you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
All right, chat. We had this conversation the other night, right? There is no Fortnite with friends, but there's gaming with us. We're going to have fun. 10:30 Saturday here.
We're doing stupid shit. We're
doing stupid shit. 10:30-ish. Not Among Us, no.
I wish we could get people together for Among Us, but we cannot get enough people together for it.
I tried,
so,
and it doesn't work.
Yeah, we really did try to get people together on the network, and it just didn't work out, unfortunately. But I wish we could.
But we're going to do something cool Saturday. Following that, we'll see Burrito, SuperLive.com, GreaterTheGreatDebate.com as we crown the greatest female character of all time. Check out Zebra Not So Live. We reviewed full gear for about 2+ hours. Available now at ZebraLive.com. Sunday at 11 p.m. Eastern, it's WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. They'll review Survivor Series. Monday night, it's a Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. Programming note, we won't be live on Thanksgiving because it's Thanksgiving, but we'll be live this Tuesday, 10 p.m. Eastern, for our Gobble Gobble Wobble Wobble Thanksgiving special. Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms or wherever you get your podcasts, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, etc., etc. Not Shoots and Ladders. Nothing Fortnite related. So, yeah. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account is called Prime Gaming. You support the channel by clicking that purple rectangle button below the screen. You can also use creator code ROCKINSOCK or
Lynn's M. Ward.
In the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners.
Go buy your Naruto skins, y'all. Use the codes.
Yeah, use the codes for the Naruto skins or however the hell you say it.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them in there. Also, there's a new Ghostbusters emote in the shop, plus all the Ghostbuster skins. Buy them. Buy them all. If you want to see the emote in action, go to the Twitter at Wild Talk Radio. I posted a video a couple hours ago. It's amazing.
It is amazing.
Also, the mechs are back. Could be why we're not playing Could be the reason why we're not playing Fortnite on Saturday. The mechs are back.
Why? Why? What is wrong with you people?
Because it's a game built for kids, and I told you that.
What is wrong with y'all? Go do your homework.
They do, and then they play their Fortnite.
Anyway, you can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, LANSWRD. Don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, MBGFilmsYouTube.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be back on Tuesday for the Gobble Gobble Wobble Wobble Thanksgiving Spectacular. Till then, bye!